difficult ceremony. Veils of ignorance were lifted from my eyes. And now, there's only one more rite to perform. And I will be wed to Satan.
You've given away your soul.
Yes, gladly. Soon all the innocence will be gone. Then I will have immortality.
You're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I am your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today we're going to do the final deep dive, Eyes Wide Shut, Part 6. You didn't see this coming, did you? I didn't tell you about it, because it was a surprise. This is Eyes Wide Shut, Deep Dive 6, The Mask of Red Death. Now, what this is, my friend, is a film analysis, but I had to dupe you. Alright. It's a film called The Mask of Red Death, from 1964. But I had to dupe you into clicking on it to listen, with the Eyes Wide Shut title. Now, why did I do that? Well, nobody likes British Gothic or cult horror anymore, so I had to get your attention. Because what I'm going to reveal to you is this film from the 60s, I believe, inspired Eyes Wide Shut. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. And by the time we get done with this, you also, my friend, will agree with me. Now, could I be wrong? Yeah, sure. Why not? But there's a lot of strange elements that seem very similar. But if you've never seen it, fret not. I will go through the whole film with you. Thus, plot spoilers, you've been warned. I mean, you've had 60 years to watch it, and you haven't yet, so just join along with me. As always, is it worth it? It's an hour and a half. It's an hour, in fact, it's an hour and 30 minutes and 5 seconds. Perfection. Beautiful. But yeah, if you like those old like Hammer horror films, the 60s occult gothic horror vibes, if you're feeling the vibes, then yes, you would love this. I mean, the sets are nuts. I mean, they got like the candelabras and this wild like castle decor. It's great. And the tale is based upon Edgar Allan Poe's story of the same name. And if you're an uncultured fella like me, then you don't know anything about the story, about the book, which I did not. I had no idea until I was doing a little research on the film after I'd watched it. Because I did not, I've never read Shakespeare. Nope, never. Never read Edgar Allan Poe. In high school, I didn't do those things. Because I was going to be a car mechanic. The lavish lifestyles of a car mechanic is what I wanted. And that's what I pursued. And when I found out I couldn't make enough money being a car mechanic, and it turns out I'm a little more lazy than a car mechanic needs to be, I said, I'm going to join the military. And then when I was like, this sucks too, I finally broke down and went to college. But when I went to college, it was for electronic engineering. And we didn't have time for this nonsensical artworks of... artworks, yeah, good one. The classical literature, right? So to this day, I've never read Shakespeare or Poe. Reading about this makes me want to read Edgar Allan Poe, though. I went to his house, yes. Went to his house in Philly. He's got a big old, the restored museum. He lived in Philly. He moved around a bunch. And one of the houses is still up there. If I remember, I will post a image on the Instagram. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. But, you know, Philly's a pretty cool place. Shout out to all my Philly folks. Now, about the film, who's in it? Vincent Price. Maybe you've heard of him. Vincent Price plays Prince Prospero, which from what I read, is also the name of a Shakespeare character, Prospero, in The Tempest. But yeah, he's the main character. He's the bad guy. He's the elitist running the castle. King of the castle, king of the castle. There you go. There's a drinking game when you listen to my show. For every time I make a Borat reference, you have to drink, because I'm a simple, simple man, and Borat is my kind of movie. I got no time for Shakespeare, but I got lots of time for Borat. Then, yeah, that's kind of the main character, and that's all you really need to know. Get ready. Let's do it. Plot spoiler coming up your way. Again, I'm going to have some photos to support a lot of these things, and surely you need to see them because you've never seen the movie. And I will put those images on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe, look at the show notes, as always. The film starts out in some nightmarish landscape, and we see a character in a red cloak posted up on a tree. And he's got this white rose, and there's this old lady, and he said, hey, let me holler at you. She comes over, he waves his hand and makes this white rose turn red. Blood red. And he's like, take us to your village, tell them the day of reckoning is coming. Now, why does this matter? Well, it matters because in Kubrick's world, the white rose appears in Dream Novella. Now, I don't know who you are listening, my dear listener, but Eyes Wide Shut, I did a two-part film analysis on the free feed, and then we went deep, so deep, on parts 3, 4, and 5, where we went through Dream Novella, the book by Arthur Schnitzler that Kubrick based the movie upon. Then we went through two more shows on the making of Eyes Wide Shut and all the details about how it was created. And by the time we got done with all that, you were convinced. You said, oh my God, Kubrick is Illuminate Confirm. Or at least he is aware of the Illuminate Confirm. Because there were a lot of strange things going on. So many strange things. And one of them was in Dream Novella in Schnitzler's book. The white rose appears in the book. When Alice's character from the movie, the female, right? Nicole Kidman's character in the book. She's fighting with Fridolin, that's Dr. Bill, it's Tom Cruise's character. And like she's like, I'm gonna bang this military officer from Denmark. And then Fridolin is like, cool, I'm gonna bang this underage girl with a white rose. Oh my God. It's so disturbing. What was going on in our culture 50 years ago? Was it like acceptable to talk like this? Anyhow, in Dream Novella, the white rose appears as the symbol of purity. And now it's in this movie. One of many connections that we will reveal as we go along. And of course, Red Cloak, right? From Eyes Wide Shut, the film. Red Cloak is the guy with the gold mask, and he calls out Dr. Bill at the orgy scene. But in the book, in Dream Novella, it's actually a guy in a white cloak that calls out Dr. Bill. Or Fridolin, excuse me. In the book, his name is Fridolin. But they do mention a red cloak at the orgy. So, take all that for what it's worth. Now, the story, and that's kind of like the first scene of the film. Then we get into the actual story. And we're introduced to Prince Prospero, that's Vincent Price. And he pays a visit to this village where you see this clear distinction of the haves and the have-nots. Again, a theme from Eyes Wide Shut. And the villagers there, they're all dirty and poor. They're like, hey, we heard through the grapevine that the day of reckoning is coming, you know, because the red cloak guy with the white rose told that old lady that it's coming. They're so foolish. They think it's the day of reckoning is against the prince, because the prince is like a real dick, right? Prince Prospero. And they're like, hey, prince, funny you should show your face around here. The day of reckoning for you is coming. And he's like, nah, bitch, you're the bitch. And he starts arresting everybody. And there's a couple of dudes that he arrests. And a woman named Francesca comes out. She begs. She's like, please, prince, let him go. And he denies her. He's like, no. They're coming with me. In fact, so are you. And he human traffics her. And he takes all three of them leaves the village. And what's curious, again, here's another. Your mind is going to be blown with all these connections. These two guys, their names are Gino. That's Francesca's lover boy. And her father, Ludovico. Now, the astute listener is already cued in on what's going on here. Ludovico from A Clockwork Orange. The Ludovico technique. That's what they use on Alex. Alex DeLarge, the main character of Clockwork Orange, who gets basically MK Ultra'd, gets the Ludovico technique. Now, if you didn't think that was weird enough, we're introduced to another character in this film who goes by the name of Alfredo. Alfredo is played by a guy named Patrick McGee, who was in A Clockwork Orange. I can't make this up, folks. Come on. He was also in Barry Lyndon. And just for fun, he was also in another great old-timey occult-ish horror film called Asylum, which, if I recall, he was in a wheelchair in Asylum, just like he was in a wheelchair in A Clockwork Orange, because I assumed he was actually paralyzed in real life until I saw this film, and I was like, huh. He was just real good at playing a guy in a wheelchair, I guess. Fun fact, he died in the 1980s. He was only 60, and he died from drinking. He was here for a good time, but not a long time. Anyhow, Alfredo, he's eating this whole drama up. You know, this is like the Middle Ages. I should set the scene better. It's like the Middle Ages, so like, they got nothing better to do than watch people get executed. It's all in good fun. I mean, they were about that action. You know, public executions and hangings. It's like, I'll bring the kids out. Let's go watch this. His death. So anyways, Prince Prospero and his buddy Alfredo, they're in this village. They're snatching up people. They're snatching up Gino and Ludovico. And they're even taking Gino's girl. He's got his girl, Francesca. And they all go back to the castle. And as they're like getting ready to leave, they're kind of like looking around, and they notice that some of the villagers have like red stuff all over their face, and they're dying, and they call this virus the Red Death, which, according to the Edgar Allan Poe article I read, it was a fictional disease, but it could have been based on tuberculosis. Doesn't matter. But they see the Red Death is spreading in the village, so Prince Prospero is like, all right, grab these folks, we out of here, back to the lab. And the lab here is a castle. And then he's like, and also, by the way, we're about to burn this village to the ground on the way out. So they head out. They go to the castle. They lock up old, what's his name, Gus? Looking through my notes here. Gino, sorry. They lock up Gino and Ludovico in the basement. And he takes Francesca up and he gets her tossed in this big-ass, badass bathtub. It's so sick. It's this big-ass, cool bathtub. And as he's standing there, chastising her as she gets cleaned up for him, he's on the black and white tiled floor. Just like in Eyes Wide Shut when Dr. Bill and Alice go to Ziegler's house party at the beginning. Again, I'll have the images of all this stuff on the Instagram. Now, as she's in the bathtub, Prince Prospero questions this jewelry she has. She has a cross around her neck. And he says, Francesca, are you a true believer?
That cross you wear around your neck, is it only a decoration? Or are you a true Christian believer?
Yes, I believe. Truly.
Then I want you to remove it at once. And never to wear it within this castle again.
So we see there's a religious element to this story. And he knows the power of the symbol combined with a true believer. He commands that she removes it. Because he, as we find out later, is very satanic. And we also find out he's about to do this massive psyop on her throughout the film as he introduces her to the court, giving her all the finest trappings. Just like when Dr. Bill and Alice are at the party at Ziegler's house, and she's like, why are we doing here? We don't really know anyone. And he's like, this is what you get for making house calls late at night. The you know, Dr. Bill and Alice, they're like Illuminati light. But Ziegler and the crew at the Summerton mansion at the orgy house, they're like Illuminati full strength. They got all the monies, all the stuffs. Dr. Bill is just a rookie. He's new money. And that same sentiment is echoed here. So Prospero, so he goes out to the court, you know, and when I say the court, I'm talking about basically just a big like ballroom, right? And there's like, it's like his entourage, I guess. It's just like 100 people just hanging out at this castle. Everyone's drinking, having a good time. There's Alfredo from Clockwork Orange. He's a real psychopath. He's putting a dagger up against this woman's neck for fun. Like a real crazy person. And Prospero, you know, he sort of claps his hands. He's like, all right, bring out the dancers. And here comes a little person named Hop Toad. And what appears to be like a 5-year-old girl named Esmeralda. Okay. Now, this is a very curious element of the story, and I had to do some research on this. But Hop Toad is not actually in Poe's book of The Mask of the Red Death. He's actually in a different Poe book called Hop Frog, which has kind of the same storyline. It's like the director just did a twofer and jammed this storyline into The Mask of Red Death to make it more interesting. And in the Hop Frog Poe book, Esmeralda, the girl that comes out with Hop Toad, is also a little person. But what's very curious about all of this is that they hired a little person to play Hop Toad, but not Esmeralda. So in the movie, Esmeralda is literally like a 5-year-old girl, which is what I assumed it was watching the whole movie, but then I looked it up afterwards and was like, okay, I guess it wasn't supposed to be. Because what I'm about to play for you next is the part of much concern, where Alfredo, after he's done putting his dagger in this chick's face, he comes around to watch this dance. And he gets mad creepy about Esmeralda, this apparent 5-year-old girl.
Wherever did you find her?
Pretty toy, isn't she?
Delightful.
I'm sure you do, Alfredo. I'm sure you wonder about every female in my household. Everyone with the appearance of innocence.
You seem to take great pleasure in corrupting
him. I'm not corrupting, Alfredo, not instructing.
Now, this is all very, very disturbing. You know, he's like, where did you find her? Oh, what a pretty toy. You know, she's delightful. But most importantly, you hear this dialogue about corrupting the innocent. And Prospero, he talks about how he's not corrupting her, he's instructing her. What does that mean? We don't really find out. We don't really find out. But it's arguable that this is a big theme. They love turning out the gospel folks, the Christian folks. They love it. There's a certain energy attached to it. And Prospero, who is a Satanist, as we will find out in this movie, is about that action as well. So Esmeralda and Lil Toad, what's his name? I like Lil Toad, Hop Toad. They're dancing. The girl accidentally kicks over a drink. Alfredo slaps her like a man too. And now the dance is over. Prospero's like, all right, everybody, look, we're gonna have this masquerade ball. We're gonna wear costumes. There's the Red Death spreading outside of this castle. And he goes around and he tells everyone, he says, and I want you all to act according to your nature. And then commands each guest to act like a different animal. He's like, you, you're much like a pig. And then like the guy is like, you know, everyone's drinking. He's like, oh, he starts acting like a pig. He's like, you're like a worm. And then the guy starts crawling around on the floor like a worm. But the guests, they're all drunk and they're carrying on like this is the funniest thing they've ever seen in their whole life. Again, must be like old-timey jokes. But the point here is that man is an animal. One of the commandments of the satanic doctrine. Man is just an animal. And we've already got a clue that Prospero is satanic. He hates the cross necklace that Francesca was wearing, so he makes her take it off, right? But Prospero, he reveals to Francesca the satanic doctrine of his entire family and bloodline.
Francesca? My father imprisoned a friend of his in this room for 3 years. When he was released, he could never again bear to look at the sun or even a daffodil.
How cruel.
Cruel? It was simply a test to prove how easily a man's mind can be controlled and twisted. My family have always been interested in such things. Somewhere in the human mind, my dear Francesca, is the key to our existence. My ancestors tried to find it. To open the door that separates us from our creator.
But you need no doors to find God. If you believe...
Believe? If you believe, my dear Francesca, you are... gullible. Can you look around this world and believe in the goodness of a God who rules it? Famine, pestilence, war, disease, and death. They rule this world.
There is also love and life and hope.
Very little hope, I assure you. No. If a God of love and life ever did exist, he is long since dead. Someone, something rules in his place.
But you hear how he says that they did these psyops to teach these initiates lessons. Lessons that mankind can be controlled and twisted. God can be found in the mind, it just needs unlocked. Not through these gullible Christian beliefs. Psyops to teach the initiates lessons. Where does that sound familiar? My goodness. Sounds like Eyes Wide Shut. Sounds like when Dr. Bill was initiated to see the sacrifice of the goddess. And I don't know if you recall, I did a video back in January 2018. Video banned everywhere. If I can find it, I'll put it on Rockfin. That seems to be the only place I can put videos now. The Dave Chappelle did a show on Netflix called The Bird Revelation, and I believe it was part 2. Anyway, at the end of the show, he's like, I bet you wonder why I went to South Africa. And he says, I'm going to tell you why through an analogy. And the analogy was from Iceberg Slim's book, Pimp. And in the book, the pimp has a prostitute. She's mentally breaking. She's exhausted. She's like, I'm out of here. I'm done with this. But he needs to keep her to keep tricking. So he makes her think she accidentally killed a guy so that she stays loyal. He puts on this whole theatric thing to make her believe a lie so that he can keep using her. And that's kind of what we see here, and that's kind of what we see in Eyes Wide Shut. So Prospero, he's giving Francesca the tour of the house, the castle. And you see different colored rooms, which is a theme in this. And they get to a black room, but he warns her not to enter. He says, the uninvited have much to fear from this room. We'll come back to that in a minute. The rooms. Meanwhile, his other mistress, wifey, I guess she's like the real wife. She says, hey, Prospero, look. Like, she sees the threat of this younger girl. She's like, look, I'm ready for the rites and incantations. But we still don't really know what that means. it's assumed it's behind the black door. And later on, when Francesca's sleeping, she hears Prospero reciting some Latin. But she's not sure what he's saying, so she sneaks around. She goes down in the basement. And the next thing you know, we see Prospero lying in a coffin. Why does that sound familiar? Well, the Yale Skull and Bones do the same thing. They hold the initiation rituals in the coffins to contemplate death, the death of the initiate to the rebirth. Which, again, eyes wide shut, because if you recall in the film, Dr. Bill is walking down the street and all them guys are wearing the Yale stuff and they basically call him gay and they shove him and they bully him. Which was in the book, but in the book it wasn't Yale. It was, I don't know, some other school. If you listen to my Deep Dive Part 3 on the bonus supporter feeds, you know. So there's just yet another example. Now what's curious here is that Prospero, he's trying to slowly initiate Francesca into this lifestyle. And he has this falcon, and he tries to teach her a lesson with this falcon.
You know how a falcon is trained, my dear? Her eyes are sewn shut. Blinded temporarily, she suffers the whims of her god patiently until her will is submerged and she learns to serve. Thus your god taught and blinded you with crosses.
You had me take off my cross because it offended...
It offended no one. My master and his followers look about with open eyes. No, it simply appeared to me to be discourteous to wear the symbol of a deity long dead.
Your master?
Satan. The Lord of Flies. The fallen angel.
Now, how curious is it that he tells her that falcons are taught to obey when they put on the blindfold? This is very Masonic. This is the hoodwink. This is what you saw... ritualistically when Pink performed at the VMAs many years ago. This is what you see the initiation rituals show you of the Freemasons when they wear the mask over the eyes. And then he quite literally tells her, look, I worship Satan. So the Red Death is spreading out in the villages and killing off poor people. It's scaring the royals and they're all scrambling to the castle. And one prince shows up at the castle and even offers up his wife to be allowed to hide out in the castle. He's like, okay, you don't want to let me in, let my wife in. And Prospero, he's like, I already have that pleasure. Oh my god. And then he shoots the dude in the with an arrow in his dumb neck. Oh dear, he's the meanest. So then we've got this interesting part where Prospero, he's talking to Francesca. He's trying to teach her the ways. He's like, look, I gotta torture these men to save their souls. Meanwhile, he's talking about how God's the God of reality and truth needs to be here because otherwise we'd have chaos. And it's kind of like a Church of Satan doctrine of might is right. And like Crowley said, you got to let the slaves serve. They kind of look at this as, look, we were born with this power. I've been given all these powers from God, which is Satan, and we should flex and use them to our advantage.
No, this way, my dear. It would be better. I understand. Life is often ugly.
But to torture men... Is this what your master Satan demands as worship?
These cells are very old. 100 years ago, an ancestor of mine was a Christian monk. He was made examiner of an early Inquisition. He tortured over 600 men, women, and children in order to save their souls for your God of love.
I cannot answer. I have no learning. But then is Satan a god of hate?
Oh, no. Of reality, of truth. The world lives in pain and despair, but is at least kept alive by a few dedicated men. If we lost our power, chaos would engulf everything. Sometimes that power must be used to teach harsh lessons.
But I don't want to learn. I'm afraid.
I do not want to hurt you, my dear. Can't you understand? I want to help save your soul so you can join me in the glories of hell.
No, never.
The way is not easy, I know. But I will take you by the hand and lead you through the cruel light into the velvet darkness.
And he seems to be very Gnostic. He's like, I'm going to save your soul so that we can go to hell, which is a great place. He calls it the velvet darkness. Meanwhile, Prospero's wifey, she's in the black room doing a ritual to sell her actual soul. And she marks herself. She burns herself an inverted cross and asks for a demon so that she can ultimately become the wife of Satan.
Lord Satan, he who is known as Belial by the ancients, demon lover of all those who wish to live in your eternal night, here, in your hour of deepest dark, in your temple and before your altar, I twice bind myself to thee as your handmaiden and your betrothed. And with the symbol of your lasting victory, I inscribe the final mark to offer myself to thee. Me a demon, so I may know I'm to be your wife.
Hey everybody, it's your host Isaac. As you know, I've got these supporter platforms, and I recently unlocked a tier 4 on Patreon and the VIP section. And this tier 4 enables the supporter at that level to come on the show. That's right, it's called Conspiracy Considerations, and today we are joined by Cheryl. Okay, now Cheryl's one of my biggest supporters. Shout out. But she's got a podcast too. She's going to join us here. And like I said before, the format of how this looks will change upon the person that signs up for the Tier 4. She sent me a pre-recorded clip that I listened to. We're going to talk about... This is my quantum entangled friend here, okay? We've got a lot of stuff running in parallel. She's talking about a paranormal ghost show we did a while back. I believe it was Chad Kalick. There was talk about mental orgasms. If you recall, on the shows I did about Midnight Gospel, talked about Crowley with the death as the ultimate orgasm. We even talked about Dr. Drew Pinsky's talking about a lady getting 60 O's from Wellbutrin or whatever. But Cheryl will talk a little bit about her background. You can hear more about it if you check out her podcast. It's called Pieces of a Broken Childhood. I've got links in the show notes, as always. And ironically, she is in Alabama, and I don't know if I covered this or not before, but I have had a friend who lived in Huntsville. I'd been there before. And then I also was stationed down there at Eglin Air Force Base. They called it FLA in Florida there, okay? F in Lower Alabama. Because it was on the panhandle. So I spent a lot of time near Alabama as well, turns out. But yeah, her show is called Pieces of a Broken Childhood. She's got these cool little micro episodes. I really dig that. I think that's a really cool idea. And you can check out that show of hers on Spotify, Apple, Google, Stitcher, all the places. And I love her sign-off. She hits it with sign-off on this, so take a listen.
Hi, Isaac. This is an audience. This is Cheryl. Tier 4 supporter. I've been supporting you for a couple years now. I went from 2 to 3 to 4. I'm on Rockfin and your VIP section. I've purchased many of your merch and enjoy your t-shirt as well as your coffee mug. But a little about myself, I have a podcast. It's about child abuse. And I think that's how I found your podcast. I was just looking through things and found it and started listening to it. And I was intrigued by, first of all, your subject matter, which I also like. And I was intrigued by your mannerisms and the way that you come across to people. Genuine, sincere, just a good guy is what I would say, with a great sense of humor. And I loved your music. And so I just continued to listen and then went from there and became more of a supporter. But I was on a live stream with you, and you may recall this. I've told you I felt like we had some quantum entanglement, Isaac, and I really feel that. Just one example was when we were on a live stream and you were saying something and I was typing the answer you were about to say. And I don't know if you remember that, but that's happened twice on live stream. And then also just some minor things that we have in common, which would be states in which we've lived, and the fact that I was supposed to be in Utah right before COVID locked everything down, and I would have been there where you are teaching some laser classes at the time. But I lived in New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and now I live in Alabama, which is my hometown. But I also had an opportunity for Paranormal Experiences, or Paranormal, I can't remember the name of the show, but we're going to come to my house. And I think you were doing some work for them at that time. So I would have met you then. There's just been many times that we should have crossed paths and we haven't, but I still was led to you. So there's some woo-woo with that. And I don't know what it is, but, I posted something on Instagram the same day that you recorded one of your episodes, and they mirrored each other. Like, obviously your content was large and detailed, but my content basically was talking about mental orgasm, and that was what your episode was on. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. So, you know, there's just that quantum entanglement something. I feel like you're an extension of me, or we have some parts that are the same, or you finish my sentences, kind of. That's the best way to put it. But that has intrigued me severely, and I don't know how to... Maybe someone can do an experiment on us. I don't know, but I was also a trauma victim at the age of 4 until I was 14. And I did have a brain injury in my early adulthood from an assault, but no lasting injuries. And I don't think I have dual personalities, and I don't have any of that. I actually went through some therapies, and I thought maybe I was crazy, but I'm actually not. And I carry on a very normal life. You know, I have a great career, and I like to think that I'm educated. So I don't know enough about quantum entanglement, but I do believe that we have some connection, and I would like to continue researching that. And if anyone in your audience, or anyone that would listen to this, or you could send this to them, could shed some light on that, that would be great. Anyway, I appreciate your show, and I also thank you so much for giving me a few minutes to speak on your show, because I think it's great, and it reaches a lot of people that have doubts and questions, and I'm one of them, and I just can't put all the things into words that right now that I would want to say. So maybe I'll get another shout out next month or something. But I really, really appreciate you and your show, and I enjoy it. It opens my mind to things that maybe I would not think about, and I want to think about everything possible because I think anything's possible. So, and if anyone wants to listen to my podcast, it's not cheerful and it's not a conspiracy theory podcast, but the name of it's Pieces of a Broken Childhood. And it's not professional. It's me speaking to my audience, you know, on my cell phone. It's how I record in my car, wherever I have time to, because I have a career and I just didn't want to waste any of my valuable time on my therapy and getting my truth out. But it fits an audience, and it has some really hard things to hear, but I will continue it, and I've got over 100 episodes to release still. But you can find it on Spotify, Apple, Google, Stitcher. There's several others, but Pieces of a Broken Childhood. And I appreciate you, Isaac. Thanks again, and I'll keep on supporting you. Keep on talking, and stay woke.
All right, that's our Tier 4 Conspiracy Considerations. You can check Cheryl's podcast out, Pieces of a Broken Childhood. It is on all the places you get podcasts. I got a couple of links in the show notes, and you can check her out on the Instagram. Like and subscribe on the Instagram. And yeah, if you want to get down on the conspiracy considerations, you know where to go. Links in the show notes, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, or go to IlluminatiWatcher.com and hit that VIP section and get in there. All right, thanks. Thank you, Cheryl, by the way, my biggest supporter by far. I appreciate you very much. So here comes Lil Toad, and he's talking to Alfredo about how he wants a full-size woman, not Esmeralda. And then he's also like, which there's a plot, inconsistency here in the plot, because later on he tries to save Esmeralda, so don't ask. But anyways, he says, look, Alfredo, we're going to do a fun little prank during this ball, and everyone's going to think you're the coolest. He's like, I'm going to have you put on an ape suit, and no one's going to expect that. It's going to be a riotous affair, and everyone's going to love you forever. And Alfredo is like, cool, let's do it. Now, Wifey, meanwhile, she shows up to Francesca's to tell her how great this satanic ceremony was, and she reveals to her how she sold her soul for immortality.
Thank God. I thought...
Yes.
I don't know. What's that?
Satan's mark.
Prospero did that to you?
No. I did it to myself. Marks me as one of Satan's handmaidens.
Are you ill?
No. It was a difficult ceremony. Veils of ignorance were lifted from my eyes. And now, there's only one more rite to perform. I will be wed to Satan.
You've given away your soul.
Yes, gladly. Soon all the innocence will be gone. Then I will have immortality. And I shall have Prospero. But I must be certain. And if you were gone,
gladly, if there were a way.
Would you dare to leave the safety of this castle?
There is no safety for me here.
So Prospero, he's got everyone in the court there in the room, in the ballroom. They're having this big feast, and they go through this elaborate game. There's basically like several daggers on the table. One of them's got poison on it. And he brings up the two prisoners. I don't know why I keep wanting to call him Gus. Gino and Ludovico. And he's like, you guys are going to take turns cutting yourself with these daggers until one of you gets gat. And during the big speech, he claims that, look, we need to worship Satan because Satan protected everyone from this red death outside. He gave us all these great gifts. And the two, Gino and Ludovico, they're playing this game, and Ludovico, he gets a little squirrely, and he tries to stab Prospero, but he doesn't get it done. And Prospero's like, okay, now you both die. But Ludovico gets away, and he runs out of the castle. So the prince, he's all upset, but he tells everyone, he says, look, everyone, go get changed for the ball. It starts at midnight. Which, to be fair, in Eyes Wide Shut, the ball starts at 3 a.m. Or at least the ritualistic part of the ball started at 3 a.m. Meanwhile, back in the woods, here's Red Cloak, and he's playing with some tarot cards, and he talks to Ludovico. Ludovico stumbles upon this Red Cloak, and he confesses that he wants to go back to the castle to save Francesca, but he's scared of Prospero, and now he's got all this fear, and Red Cloak tells him that the only way to combat the fear is with the weapon of love. You get back there, and he hands him this tarot card. Now, I couldn't really get a good look at this tarot card. I put the photo on the Instagram. You can take a look for yourself. It looks like it could be the lover's card. Or it, according to people on Twitter that I asked, they say it's the judgment card. Which, I'd argue, maybe it is. But let's look at the lover's card first. Because I found this very curious. The lover's card shows a naked man and woman. I'm reading this from a tarot website. I'm not a tarot guy. The lover's card shows a naked man and woman standing beneath the angel Raphael, whose name means God heals, and represents both physical and emotional healing. The angel blesses the man and woman and reminds them of their union with the divine. Why does that matter? Because if you listen to the Eyes Wide Shut deep dive, I believe it was part 4, again only on the bonus supporter feeds, we went through the making of Eyes Wide Shut, and it was revealed that Kubrick was underlying passages in a book called Cult and Occult. And one of these passages was talking about the union with the divine. So again, another connection. Now, what if this tarot card is the judgment card? Which I admit, it does look a little bit more like the judgment card, but let's read about the judgment card. It says, the judgment card shows naked men, women, and children rising from their graves, arms outspread and looking up into the sky. Above, Archangel Gabriel, the messenger of God, blows his trumpet. The people respond to his call, ready to be judged and to find out if they will be accepted into the heavens or not. Now, this isn't as fun of a connection, but there you go. Choose your own adventure. The lover's card is much more fun in the scheme of the Kubrick connection that we're trying to make here. But in all reality, it could just be the judgment card. Don't know. Meanwhile, Wifey, she sold her soul. She's feeling good. She's feeling herself a little bit. but she goes to sleep, and she starts having these really bizarre visions of being sacrificed to these Aztec warriors. The Aztec warriors, what is that? Isn't that a movie? What that movie was that, Friday? Say hello to my Aztec warrior. I call him Mini-Me. Now she wakes up and then descends through the multicolored rooms that we talked about earlier. She descends from the black to the white to the purple to the yellow, all these different rooms. I argue this could also be where Kubrick got this rainbow idea because, again, referring to the bonus supporter shows, the making of Eyes Wide Shut, I don't remember which part it was. We talked about how Kubrick it basically came up with the rainbow fashions. That is not in the book. It's not in Dream Novella. He came up with that. And we talked about all the different connections that could be. Fritz Springmeier, mind control, Wizard of Oz, trauma, all that stuff. Now in the book, in Edgar Allan Poe's book, The Mask of Red Death, it details like 7 rooms with 7 colors. In the movie, we only get to see like 4, was it 4? 5 rooms. But at the end of the film, the 7 different colors shows up, and we'll get to that. Not a big deal, don't get too bogged down in the details, but let's stay on track. So she's running from the Aztec warriors, I guess. She goes through the sequence of colors through the rooms. She gets back to the main room. And a falcon swoops down and kills her while she's hearing the voice of Satan, who she thought was her husband at this point. Prospero walks over. He sees her dead body. And he tells the guest she just married a friend of mine. And then instructs for the masquerade party to begin. Cold-blooded. He don't care. He don't care. The sacrifice starts the party. Again, Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut. Sacrificial elements connected to the party. The masquerade party. Same thing that's happening in this movie, in this story. So the party commences. Prospero's up on top of the balcony. He's throwing jewels. He's making it rain. He's throwing the jewels and the gems on the guests. And listen to him comment. He comments about how these elites, they're scrambling for more. He says they're wealthy and they're just greedy for more. And he sort of revels in being their god. And he's telling them all, like, look, everyone's dead from the Red Death, but I saved you. Me and Satan saved you. And about how there were 6 people from the village that lived, and how they showed up at the castle asking to be let in, and he killed them just for them. And Francesca, she's horrified. She's like, what did you do that for? But he reveals to her, he's like, look, I'm going to initiate you into understanding why we do this, why the mercy kills need to happen.
Gifts for everyone. Diamonds, rubies, emeralds, pearls for my friends, for my guests. Look at them. Look at them all scrambling like starving men for crusts of bread. All wealthy and all greedy for more. I give you reason for real rejoicing, my friends. The only survivors of the village have just come to the castle walls. Only 6. The Red Death has claimed the rest of them. But as I promised you, all of you within these walls, under my protection, are safe. So rejoice!
And the 6 who lived?
Dead. But they demanded to enter the castle.
You killed them.
It was a kindness, my dear. Can't you see that? The Red Death brings pain and terror and madness. I spared them. Tonight, after the mask, I will initiate you into understanding.
I don't know. I don't know.
So again, you got this idea of the elites in the castle, in the masquerade ball, just like an Eyes Wide Shut. Same thing. Well, meanwhile, back in the woods, Red Cloak and Ludovico, they show up at the castle. Because again, remember, like, Red Cloak was like, you need this tarot card. You need love to go in and save the day. Which again, supports the idea that it's the lover's card, which connects us to divine with the union. Which connects us to Eyes Wide Shut, because that's what Kubrick was underlining in the book. And Red Cloak basically tells him, look, buddy, look, Ludovico, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to kill everyone, and then you come get your chick. And Ludovico's like, all right, cool, let's do it. Meanwhile, little Toad, little frog, Hop Toad, he shows up in Esmeralda's room, who, again, is played by, what, I don't know, she looks like she's 5 years old. But when she talks, she has this weird voiceover of like a grown-ass woman. It's very strange. I'm assuming that it was supposed to also be a little person, but they couldn't find one. I don't know. Must have been a shortage of female little person actresses in the 60s. I have no idea. But little Toad says, look, I'm about to do something crazy down there, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you away from here. But she's scared of the Red Death. She's like, I don't want to leave. But he's like, look, it's worse to stay here. She's like, okay. So the masquerade ball is going down. And you see everyone comes back out in the, to the party. They got the masks on. And I got a screenshot, again, on the Instagram, I'll put it, of a dude wearing what looks to be exactly like the mask from A Clockwork Orange with the big phallus on the nose. And I mean, Clockwork Orange was only made, what is it, 8 years after this movie? So it very well could be. And here comes a little Toad. He comes out with Alfredo. Alfredo's wearing the ape suit. Like he said, oh, everyone's going to love you. You're going to be so funny. And everyone's dying of laughter. It's the funniest thing they've ever seen. Simple-minded. And then Little Toad lights him on fire and kills him in front of everybody. And he runs away, presumably to go get Esmeralda to take her away from the castle. You don't see him again, so I don't know. Who cares? But Prospero, he thinks it's funny. He's like, cool. Thank you, Hop Toad, for the great entertainment. Meanwhile, Red Cloak, he's in the party now. He sneaks in. And Prospero, he directly told everyone, he says, wear whatever mask, whatever costume you want. Do not wear red because of that red death thing going on outside. And his eye catches the Red Cloak. The Red Cloak is walking away. And he looks over, he says, what? Who's got red on? And he goes to track him down. And he chases after Red Cloak and catches up to him. Red Cloak walked through the multicolored rooms and gets all the way to the black room. And that's where Prospero catches up to him. And here's what's crazy. Again, you got to see the images. Seeing is believing. On the Instagram, at Isaac Watson. The Red Cloak turns around and he's got a gold mask on. Just like Eyes Wide Shut. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So he gets in the black room and Prospero's like, who is that under the mask? And Prospero thinks at this point he thinks it's the Prince of Darkness himself. And he says, I would like to see your face. And the Red Cloak says, there's no face of death until you see your own death. Now again, another parallel to Eyes Wide Shut. Red Cloak in Eyes Wide Shut demands to see Dr. Bill's face. I mean, that's what I'm saying. This has to be a film that Kubrick saw. It has to be. So basically, the film, it's close to the end here. Because in these old 60 movies, the credits are like 30 seconds. And we're near the end of the film. And Red Cloak, he basically is like, Prospero thinks it's the Prince of Darkness. He's not sure. But Red Cloak's like, look, I'm about to kill everybody. I'm calling this the Dance of Death. And Prospero, he's about that action. He's like, cool, do it. I worship you, Satan. Let's do it. But then he begs Red Cloak. He's like, just spare Francesca. Let her go. And Red Cloak proceeds to kill everyone. And he calls it the Dance of Death. And what he does is he walks by people and they turn red with blood. And this is very similar to, again, a little bonus conversation here. Luca Guadagnino's Suspiria remake from 2018, I believe it was. I don't want to plot spoil you, because that one, I love me some Suspiria. If you've never seen Suspiria, the two films, I always recommend those if you like horror movies. But there, if you've seen it, you'll know. There's elements similar to that, right? That's all I'll say. So Red Cloak, he's killing everybody with the Dance of Death. And Prospero's, he's like, cool, man, this is my friend, we're doing this. But then Red Cloak, he's like, look, sucker, I'm not Satan, I'm Death.
Thank you, Your Excellency, for the girl.
I have no title. Why do you call me Excellency?
Well, I thought as the ambassador of Satan...
He is not my master. Death has no master.
But Satan rules the universe. I made a pact with him.
He does not rule alone. And your pact with him will not save you.
There is no other god. Satan killed him.
Each man creates his own god for himself. His own heaven, his own hell.
Let me see your face.
Your hell, Prince Prospero, and the moment of your death.
Now. Now! No!
Death says each man creates his own heaven and hell, and Prospero reaches out and takes off the gold mask, and boom! It's him. It's him under the mask. Death is actually him. And Prospero, he's freaked out, rightfully so. He goes into this crowd of all these people covered in red blood. It's a zombie party, I guess. I don't know. And they try to sort of consume him, but they all drop dead. He's left in astonishment and horror. And he goes to escape and he runs through the rooms. The yellow, the purple, the white, the black rooms. He makes it all the way to the black room. But Death's already in there. The red cloak, he's already in there. And he trolls him for a second. He says, why are you afraid to die? Your soul has been dead a long time. Then he kills him. He makes him die from the red death. Blood dripping down his red face. Then it's time for the denouement. You see Red Cloak back in the woods again. He's playing tarot. Playing a little tarot card. And here comes a Black Cloak. Black Cloak comes walking up to him looking like the Grim Reaper. Because he's just another form of death. And then we see a yellow one. And a white one. And an orange one. And a blue one. And they all sort of have a conversation about how exhausting it is to catch all these bodies everywhere. And the film throws a quote up from Edgar Allan Poe. And then boom. There goes the credits. Which shows a sequence of tarot card readings. And that's how the film ends. Crazy film. And there's not a clear interpretation of Edgar Allan Poe's story. There's different theories on it. But none of that matters. What we're here to talk about is my man Stanley Kubrick. I argue Stanley Kubrick has seen this film and used elements of it for Eyes Wide Shut, proving, not that we haven't already proven it with the bonus supporter episodes, proving that there's a satanic elite connection to be had, and Kubrick was exposing it. What were the connections from this movie to Eyes Wide Shut? Let's recap. You had the White Rose of Purity from the dream novella when Frieda Lynn was, you know, dreaming about this young girl. You got the young girl from Esmeralda, who's like a 5-year-old girl in this movie, which, I don't know, apparently it was a little person. I don't know. But very strange, and they're like lusting over this girl. It's gross. Then you've got the red cloak with a gold mask at a masquerade ball of satanic elites doing sacrifices for theatric fun, just like Eyes Wide Shut. And for bonus points, in my, I believe it was Deep Dive Part 5, the second part of the making of Eyes Wide Shut, Kubrick was in fact reading that book, Cult and the Occult, and underlined a passage about sacrifice. These are the passages he underlined. In case you're not on the bonus supporter feed, I'm going to read them to you. I'm such a nice guy. Such a sacramental use of sexual intercourse can supposedly be employed as a means of acquiring occult power, and at its highest, lead to the ultimate goal of the mystic, union with the divine. And then he has another strange passage he underlined. Says the Emperor Barbarossa held young boys against his stomach and genitals to transfer their energy. Crazy stuff. We also have Ludovico, the name of the one dude. Tits McGee from Barry Lyndon and Clockwork Orange. Who played the role of Alfredo, Patrick McGee. Took me a minute. You like Tits McGee, that's a funner name. But he was in a Clockwork Orange, he was in Barry Lyndon. We also have the black and white checkered floor, just like Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman walk on in Ziegler's house in Eyes Wide Shut. We have the Yale connection, where Prospero was in the coffin, just like the Skull and Bones, just like how the Yale people picked on Tom Cruise's character in Eyes Wide Shut. And, of course, you got these colors of the rainbow connecting to rainbow fashions, which was something that Kubrick created for the film that was not in the dream novella. So there you go. Why does it matter? Who cares, Isaac? You weirdo. You obsessively compulsive weirdo. Seeing Kubrick in everything and anything. It matters. Because the film, the tale of Kubrick's last movie, is all about the elite connections to satanic debauchery. That's what Eyes Wide Shut was all about. It's what Kubrick was a witness to when they paid him to fake the moon landing. Because we never went to the moon. Show me pictures of the debris on the moon. You don't think they have satellites orbiting the moon that can take a high-res shot of like that dune buggy they were driving around, or the big lander motors they had to leave behind? NASA's got photos, but it's like a dot on the screen, and you can't tell what that is. Meanwhile, you can go on Google and look at a satellite image of your house with a car in high detail, which, by the way, the the actual, like, legit sort of like military government grade satellites have way more resolution than what you see on Google. You know they've got those satellites on the moon, right? They got to. High resolution images. Show me the high resolution image of the footprints or the flag or just the dune buggy. You don't even got to zoom in as far as the footprint or the flag. Show me the picture of the dune buggy. And then I'll tell you the photo's fake. Ha! You can't win. No, seriously though, the idea that Kubrick was exposed to the elites seems very clear to me. And this, we're going on 6, 7, 8 hours of analyzing Eyes Wide Shut. And to me, it seems like the jury's back in, like Kubrick knew. And he was showing us the details in these films. I hope you liked that. If you want more, if you want to support the research, you want to support your boy Isaac, you know where to go. Links are in the show notes. Go to rockfin.com/creator/Isaac. It's one option. Or go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Or go to IlluminatiWatcher.com/VIP. No, I'm sorry. It's like, just go to IlluminatiWatcher.com and look for the VIP section. And on there, you'll even see a grid comparing the benefits from each support system. Some are cheaper. Some have more things. Whatever you want to do. But that's the only way you'll get those bonus, you know, we got 3, 4, 5 hours of bonus Kubrick deep dive and Eyes Wide Shut that I assure you will blow your mind. If you're interested in this subject, there's a lot more to it. All right, thanks for your support. No matter your support, if you're just listening on the free feed, I appreciate you. Leave a review. Tell me what you like about the show. I appreciate that. Just started reading them again. So, anyhow, hope you enjoyed that. Until next time. Stay woke.